Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Today, I want to get into a trigger that you guys wrote in about, which is feeling not as pretty or as worthy as your expanders. I think this is really important to talk about in manifestation. I think it's an epidemic on the planet, especially because we have so much media coming at us at all times of what we should look like or how we should be fitting into a box in order to be loved. This couldn't be further away from magnetism. And I just want to explain for a moment, it's something we all understand as a concept, but it's not something we all embody. The more we are completely living and shining from our own whole authentic worth, the more magnetic we are and we receive everything we want. Sure, we live in a world where people are drawn to certain types of beauty because it's what they've been fed. However, and I can attest to this, let this expand you. I have many very successful clients, many of which are models. And I can tell you this firsthand that the difference between my clients that are highly, highly, highly magnetic and looking in a way that wouldn't be conventionally beautiful is so superior and quick at manifesting than those of my clients who are what society deems as perfection or beautiful, but have tremendously low self-worth because it's all they've been validated for. So it really is kind of their worst enemy and gift at the same time. So when you're doing this work and you're looking around at expanders, please do the work in shadow. It is so important in the work in the daily reprogramming exercise to look at all of those triggers that are coming up for you that make you feel like you're not good enough compared to your expanders. You're not beautiful enough compared to your expanders. You're not worthy enough compared to your expanders. It A, is absolutely untrue. And B, your goal isn't to be any of those things. Your goal is to be your most worthy, authentic self. And that will get you everywhere on this planet, truly, regardless of what the exterior looks like. The more you can align your exterior with your interior, that's where the magnetism is. The more, there's an earlier episode I have where I really talk in the intro about really the projection of our subconscious archetype. Go revisit that. That aligning with what you're projecting is exactly what people are receiving. The more there's a mismatch that we're having insecurities about the exterior rather than focusing on truly pumping up the worthy authenticness of our interior, that's where the magic can really happen when we focus on the latter. So I just want to reinforce that. A really great way to work through that is, again, you can start right with the daily reprogramming exercise to see why these triggers are coming up, work through the prompts and journal out where it comes from. and then go down into your subconscious and reprogram it. Do a little brain surgery, and definitely working it through shadow. That's the most important thing, to really own who you are. Again, the more we're projecting from an entirely empowered subconscious state, our exterior really kind of doesn't matter. So I really want to throw that out at you today and empower you. And I think that this episode we have with my go-to human design reader, many of you have heard her very first episode. She kicked off this podcast as our guest, and she's back again today. We wanted to share this particular episode because it really walks through manifestation and human design. So Jenna Zoe's going to take us through how the two can align and work for you based on your type. Every person comes onto this planet with their own totally authentic blueprint. And that's what human design is. You have your very own authentic blueprint. And now we're going to talk about how that blueprint combined with this formula creates exquisite manifestations. And I think that can really loop back around to exactly what I was just talking about. Let's focus on our authentic blueprint and pumping up the worthiness inside of it. That is magnetism. And let's stop, let's use the energy of the triggers coming up for us where we're not feeling good enough in comparison to our expanders. So without further ado, welcome back Jenna Zoe, human design reader. I feel like she needs no introduction, and kick back because this episode is going to blow your mind. As you guys requested, you wanted to know more about your human design and how to implement it with this manifestation process. And so I thought I'd start to bring in experts, my human design reader and the person that I go to for it, to help answer your questions. So meet Jenna Zoe, and we're going to start to answer all of your guys' most pressing human design questions. But before we get started, I thought it would be really nice for the whole introduction to get Jenna to basically go over each of the types and where they can find in a nutshell, where you guys can find in a nutshell, how to determine what, maybe it's, is it strategy? Is that basically each type strategy for manifestation? And maybe a couple of sentences, how to not get tripped up on your strategy, how to actually implement it. Because I think that's people's most like confusing thing.
I agree. And actually, it's the same thing when you think about like how you show up in the world. Like your strategy isn't something that you necessarily need to, I guess, think about. It's just the way that your body likes to exchange energy with the world around you anyway. So I guess it's about like sinking back into that default rather than trying to think the way that you should strategize about life needs to be a certain way, right? So you'll find when people are living their design, it's just like it naturally sort of like falls into place. So like you said, it's nothing so complicated and you don't have to think about it too much. So I guess the first one we should talk about probably manifestors. Manifestors, the difficulty with manifestors is that all the jargon that we have about making life successful is geared towards manifestors because historically they have been the people that have risen to the top. So manifestors are really literally the people that are like the Nike, like just do it and like just think about it and it happens, or just go be you and everything falls into place. So they're really like that, those people that flick the dominoes and then everything else will kind of just like fall. But there's nothing that they necessarily have to think about because the mantra for a manifestor is like, I am, therefore I do. So just by totally being you and accepting how big you are as a person and how impactful you are, then you basically trust that just by you showing up and listening to your spontaneity and your urges of what you genuinely feel like doing in the moment, that everything else kind of just basically like will happen after that. So manifestors among us are really the people that are here to cause. They're the cause and we're all the effect. And that's not to say that a cause is better than the effect either, because that's that's a thing that I get asked really often is like, oh, can I not manifest if I'm not a manifester?
Yes, we're here to debunk everything, because one thing I want to jump in and say, like I see now across, because so many of you guys are so versed with Jenna and your types, that I get so many people that are like, well, can I not manifest if this, or if I have to wait for an invitation? And I will say wholeheartedly now that my practice is scattered with every single one of you guys, and all of you guys manifest great. Yeah. So the term, if you want to speak on that for just a minute, the difference between manifestor type versus
just being a person who manifests,
yes.
which I term manifester just as a blanket. Yeah.
Well, there's, I guess, manifestor is the human design one, is the way I think about it. And then a manifester is like what everyone, you know, everybody does. But with manifestors, like human design manifestors, I guess they only just basically got that name because they were the people that, like we saw through history, actually did manifest, mm-hmm. where probably a lot of people were suppressed.
Mm.
So in my mind, that's kind of where they got that term from.
Mm.
So I almost wish that they had a different name when the download was taken by the guy who founded it. But that's just, it's just all semantics. Like it's just a word.
Yeah.
It's not to take it so seriously.
So
with manifestors, like I said, it's about I am, therefore I do. So it's really just about once you've done the work to decondition from being apologetic about who you are or being afraid of being big or impactful or really splitting opinion where you go sometimes and some people really getting you and some people not, you know, just by you being there, you'll inspire people, you'll rewrite the rules. That's kind of the way that manifestors are supposed to. That's their strategy in life, basically.
Excellent.
So someone told me a cool story about Johnny Depp, who basically, when he's on set, because he's a manifester, and he'll be like, I want to do this today, and I don't want to do this scene, and let's do this in reverse. And he's very playful with it, and that's the energy with the manifestors, is like they just want to be playful, they want to rewrite things, rescript things based on what they feel like doing, and trusting that when they're totally unapologetic about that, other people follow. So it's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but it's okay if I, because no one's going to respond to that so well.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But when they're like, guys, let's just do this today, and then everyone wants to jump on that train. So, then
so
that's
the playfulness.
What
is a good way if you're a manifester to honor without being so polarizing.
Yes.
Like,
and not letting you be so heavy.
Yeah. Just really, really. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then what's next?
So that's manifestors. And then with generators, they're really the people that the way I see it is like they're really supposed to dance with life. So if you imagine like the universe is kind of like playing a ping pong game with them. And it's always going to be the universe's turn to serve first. So with generators, they want to make sure that they're not always trying to like make things happen or push for things to happen, but really to make their intentions clear and then ask the universe to either show them with like a sign or a synchronicity or to show them the way. And then once they have that, then they can respond with their gut. They can say, oh, that's something that I want to respond to. Or that's something that does light me up. Or that's something rather than find the thing that lights you up. Be clear about what does light you up, let the universe serve it to you, and then respond. So that's where the whole strategy about responding comes in.
And what would you say is the biggest thing you can demystify on them that you're seeing trips people up?
With generators, number one, I think it is kind of like pushing to try to find things that light you up. That's a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is also if you think about, because when we talk about using your energy in human design, it's really about what you put in your aura. So if you think about your aura as this big 3-foot thing that surrounds you, you basically don't want to be clogging it with things that you don't want to do. Because otherwise there's no space for the yes things to come in. So what I say to generators is like you can decondition the most powerfully on your couch by taking inventory of like what doesn't light me up that I still feel I should do.
Like unblock no. Like it could really, like really learning that this is a block, this isn't what I like,
yeah.
this is, and really being okay with it.
Yeah, like am I still going to my family on Friday nights even though I hate it? You know, could be stopping you with your career because it's all one pool.
Totally.
You know?
Absolutely. It's a block. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's so many. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but there's like so many overlaps. It's insane, which is great. Like now we're like bringing it all together.
This is the integration where people can actually, because a big part of what I just started to realize with manifestation is if we get rid of everything and become our most whole authentic selves, everything starts to come to us.
Yeah.
And the whole theory behind human design essentially is you came onto the planet with a blueprint of what that authentic self is.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful way to have a session with Jenna or do her deconditioning to really learn about what your authenticity is and then playing with manifestation and also using a lot of the unblocked tools if you have to go deeper of getting rid of all of that stuff that's just sitting in you and your subconscious.
And then having the clarity of like, oh, that's where I picked this up from because it's not the real me. Like that's why, you know, like I've done all the unblocks because it's like, oh, okay, I picked up this conditioning here and now I can get rid of it because all I had to do was see it and understand where it came from or that kind of stuff. So
absolutely.
And
then what's next?
So manifesting generators, and this is where it gets a little bit complicated because you can actually look in your chart as a manifesting generator, whether you're a more manifester or more generator. So even though manifesting generators get lumped into the same category as generators in terms of responding, there are some manifesting generators where they need to be a little bit more like the manifester, where they're just like, here I am, this is who I am. Whereas the more generators with manifesting energy, is what I say, need to be more like generators, where it's like, I'm going to make my intentions clear, but I'm also going to then wait to respond. And how you can check which one you are is if you look at a chart, whenever the sacral is connected directly to the throat, that's a more manifesting generator.
And when you say connected, it means that there's a red line or a white line that goes.
There's a red or a black, any kind of colored line, whichever one it is, going straight from the sacral to the throat.
And the sacral's the part that's right here,
yeah,
right?
That's that red box.
Yeah.
And then the throat is the box right here at the throat. So if you see those two directly connected, you're more of a manifesting generator. And if you have that not colored in, then you're more of a generator. So it's, you have to get very specific, because I definitely don't want people thinking all manifesting generators are the same, because they're definitely not. So you check in your chart and then go with whichever one we just covered, manifestor or generator.
I have one quick question on this, because I see, or maybe I should save this for a little bit later, or we can touch on it briefly. Obviously, any of us that are out of whack with our type, we're not living our design, we're susceptible to illness, period.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting, because I know a lot of my manifesting generator friends had like their thyroid removed because of Hashimoto's, of not, you know, communicating what they needed. What would you speak on? I see it most often, people who have autoimmune diseases out of human design are manifesting generators, projectors, and generators.
Wow. So obviously the health, we can tell when we look at a chart, we can tell where you're susceptible in terms of health. But with manifesting generators, for sure, the one thing where they're supposed to be people that are so energized, and they're supposed to be people that are really powerful. That doesn't mean that they're aggressive or that they make themselves be known, but it just means that they have that big engine that supports them. And the number one thing that manifesting generators do is try and be the capable people. So they're always like, I've got this, I can do everything, I'm this, I'm that. And so what happens is they end up committing their energy to too many things that actually don't light them up. So you're not stoking that life force. And what happens is then that's when the body starts to attack itself, because it says, I'm filling up my life force with things that don't actually give me more energy. When manifesting generators are doing things that do light them up, it's like that thing is supposed to give them more energy, not deplete them, which is why we call manifesting generators and generators energy types, because when they're doing stuff that lights them up, they get more energy. Whereas like projectors and reflectors still can only do so much, because they don't get energy from doing things.
So that's also you speak to exactly the same thing for generators, essentially. That means their life's too full of things that don't light them up.
Yeah. Because it's draining your energy
for too
rather
long.
Than.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's like you have to get so kind of like rigorous on like, literally just the first step is to get clear on what does and doesn't light you up. Even if you can't do it yet, you can be like, universe, I'm very, very, you and me between us, like this doesn't light me up, but like, you know, help me figure it out, because I can't quite take that jump yet. I think that's the most powerful thing versus actually like stepping into doing it. When you say like, oh, I realize this doesn't make me feel that good.
Mm-hmm.
That's like already magic for
it's like the number one thing in getting sober, something is like the awareness that you have a problem.
Exactly, like I have an overcommitting generating problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I can do too much that I don't like.
Yeah.
And so their strategy, pending, you want to check and see if you're more of a manifester or generator, and then you just tune into whatever those strategies are.
Yes.
More.
Yeah.
Even though you house both of them. Okay.
Yeah. Great. The projectors. So the strategy with the projector, and I guess projectors are the people who, in my experience, have the worst trouble reconciling manifesting with being a projector, because what they say is that projectors are supposed to wait for the invitation.
When I feel like you and I can speak on this too.
Yes,
when
you first heard that, were you like crushed?
Not at all. Oh. It gave me licensing, because I live so much of my life doing the wrong things. Like, let's say if I were a generator, which I'm not, I lived my life way too long from low self-worth, continuing to do the things that don't light me up because I thought that I had to, even though I'm not a generator. I think that hurts anyone, period.
Yeah.
But like for me, the way that right away it gave me deeper licensing and made so much sense, because I know when I channel into my gifts and I just do my thing and live my bliss, mm-hmm. but I'm not soliciting it, mm-hmm. I know that it's going to get so far when people experience it and come in deeper wanting more of it. Yes. I've seen that. Like, that's why I've never gotten a PR person, because anytime I've ever had someone sort of acting as a PR person for me, it's what you always say. It's like, they can pitch me and it yeah. just to like Vogue, like an editor at Vogue, and it's literally like throwing it to the wall uh-huh. and falling flat. But when one girl at Vogue does one of my things, yeah. she's like, oh my God, we have to feature you and yada yada. So they yeah. really, people do, if I'm soliciting, it doesn't go anywhere. It's the same thing on the blog. Like, I don't solicit. I'm like, here's kind of a thing. If you want to buy it, you can yeah. check it out. If not, carry on.
Yes.
But it's, so I found with soliciting is my issue. Mm-hmm. Or that's where I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm never going to get a PR person or do, like, anyone's yeah. coming who's supposed to come. And then wow. they're going to come in strong when yeah. they do.
Well, that's such a good one to kind of like know if you're wondering that question. Because for me, when I first had that, when someone did my human design first and he was like, you have to wait to be invited and you can't make moves and you can't, I was like, what?
Every projector in the Facebook group is like, do I just sit at home all day?
Yeah, like, what do I even do? But the way around it is like, it's not about, you know, obviously, and you know this, like, this is what you teach, is manifesting is not about the actions that you take in the world necessarily. It's about you being you, right?
Totally.
And so as a projector, it's very unattractive if you, because projectors see things and they know things, that's what they're here to do. They're here to really figure out a system or really see something new or really hack a, you know, something existing or see how to make efficiency gains, whether that's in technology or whether that's
science,
in Reiki,
like,
it can
whatever.
Be in anything,
yeah.
right? So whatever that niche is, when you're very, very clear on that, you have to trust that actually it's much more magnetic that the right people who see you as a guide or see you for what your talents are will come to you rather than you pushing your stuff on other people, because it's very unattractive when you're like, I know, and you should do this. And it comes across as bossy, and it's never the right way to exchange the energy, because if you see things, people need to see that you see things in order to create space within them for their stuff to be received.
That makes
Which is why
sense.
There's that energetic flow of like, okay, can I ask you a question? Da da da, and then you would tell me, because if I haven't asked you, there's no
so it's no soliciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly like that's what I learned too. Even with my parents, when I'd be like, I know how to fix you guys, like or whatever,
yeah.
it
we
was
just
like
can't do it.
La da da da.
We just can't do it.
But now my dad's like doing unblocked opulence and all the things because he finally is trusting it. So if I don't solicit to things, it comes.
That's so sweet.
So that's my two cents. On
yeah,
it.
And that's the main thing with projectors is like getting really, really clear on what it is that you're so good at seeing is way more efficient to helping you manifest than going out there and
that's
looking for things and pushing for things.
And
we're
then
not
becoming
manifestors.
Confident. Like delayering to be yeah. confident in it and you and who you are.
Yeah.
That's it. Like I
literally.
Think.
But I lived as a, like I project, all projectors I think at some point get generator FOMO where they're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm on, like I want to, whatever. And I think that that generator FOMO is like the thing that trips them up the most. Cause then you're like, well, how can I make stuff happen if I'm not pushing?
Totally.
But
and then
of it.
Generators are, to me, I'm the most jealous of them.
Yeah.
I think they're so cool and groovy.
I know. They're, like when you can see a generator is like really doing stuff that lights them up, it's like they have that sparkly, juicy life force that just makes you want to like be around them all the time and
totally.
Be like, what are you doing? I want to come with. Like
Ashley Neese, my friend, is a really good example of this. Like
oh,
you
yeah.
never meet a person who isn't like, I love Ashley. It's
because
yeah. their aura is so warm and mm-hmm. magical and
yeah.
they give you so much energy. My dad's
yes.
like that too. When he's
me.
In his bliss, like people are like, he's the funniest, coolest, most.
Yes.
Like, and I'm like, well, but I'm always the person who wants to be seen.
I know.
Being a projector.
Projector, yeah. I'm the same with generators. I'm like, you guys are so juicy and sparkly,
yeah.
and I like love it.
Yeah.
When they're really like happy, and then they create this like vortex inside their aura
yes.
where you're just, like,
yeah,
like,
everything. They're
just,
so
like,
magnetic.
Sucks to them. Yeah. It's exactly that. I'm
I'll
like,
let
why
you go
I
into
that fun.
I know. I love that energy.
Yeah. So we did manifestors, generators, MGs, projectors. We have reflectors now. So reflectors, in a way, they have probably the hardest time of us all because they're only 1% of the population and they're literally the only people. Like, think about the spiritual, you know, world saying, like, figure out who you are or who are you and, you know, get to know yourself and all this stuff. And actually, that's the worst conditioning for reflectors because they really are the people who are just detached from having an identity in a way, but that's their strength. So it's not like it's never a weakness, it's never a bad thing. But with reflectors, they really are supposed to not have a strategy over how their life is supposed to go or what lights them up or what doesn't light them up, because they're so affected deeply by any environment that they're in that they're almost like blank canvases that get splattered on by the color of the wall.
Oh, so hard. So hard. Especially the whole programming they've ever heard their whole life.
Literally.
It's figure it out, follow this, do that. If you do this, you'll be loved. And it's so hard.
Yeah. Or anytime people go, you're so that, like, say, for example, you had a parent that said to you, you're so, I don't know,
productive, beautiful, smart,
whatever. But that's all a changing thing for them because they literally are the chameleons among us. So the most important thing for reflectors in the way that they manifest is actually to make sure that they're always checking in with whether they're in an environment, macro or micro, that they feel good in, because that's what's going to guide them as to their next step. So if they're ever in a place where they don't feel good about themselves, it's like that's because the environment is very unhealthy for them. And that's not going to be conducive to like them being on their like path to
flow. Yeah. Oh man, poor things, but they're so magical too at the same time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the few examples that you've ever given on them are such magical people.
Yeah.
When they're really in their design.
Insane. Like total, like, wow, you know? But they just have to be so divorced from all the stuff that the rest of us.
All conditioning, essentially.
Yeah.
And I always love to, I think I heard it on Jordan's podcast, you know, as a, she's a reflector, that you have to be everything and nothing at the same time.
Literally.
It's so hard. So
it's whatever people put on you is what they'll get back, right? So if you're a reflector and I see stuff in you that was whatever, like it's all the you just holding up a mirror to be me, which obviously to some extent, again, like
we want
to get with the semantics, but they're so blank, which is their power. They so have nothing of their own, and when they're detached from having anything, that's when they're like really like so amazing.
And in a quick nutshell, really fast, as an overview for each of them, when is each type the most magnetic? Obviously every when they're in their own authenticity.
Also, exactly, when they're living their design. But just as overviews, I'd say manifest is when they're being really unapologetic about who they are, and they're okay with being the people that not everyone's going to get, or that some people are going to love and some people aren't going to understand.
When so just shadow, like really owning it.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Whatever. Yeah. On to the next.
This is me. Yeah. Like, you know, and then with generators, like when they're doing what they love, like just what we were saying is what they are literally like everybody wants to be around them when they're doing stuff that makes them excited. So it's almost like we can't afford for you to not do stuff that lights you up, and neither can you. Like it's a win-win, right?
Totally.
So,
so when you get rid of everything in your life that's not lighting you up and you're just in your bliss everywhere, bam, you're just so magnetic.
Yeah. And then the same with manifesting generators. It's like once you really take that pressure off yourself to have everything sorted out and do all the things and be so kind of like trying to be what I call like a, it's always like trying to be a square peg in a round hole. When they embrace that with manifesting generators, like when they totally embrace it, they want to dip their toe in this and they want to do that and they want to go here. Then and their path is never going to be like, oh, I'm going to be an accountant and I'm going to climb that wall. Like it's always like here, there, everywhere, dips toes in this, go to the next thing. As soon as I'm bored, I'll go somewhere else. Like I always use Tony Robbins as like a really good example because he's all over the place, but he owns it and it's in such a good way.
Rather than like, he's like finance, help people.
Gonna
try all these like martial arts.
And no one sees that as like,
it's not weird.
Confusing or a problem. It's like, oh yeah, he owns it. He's like, that's cool. You know? So that's really that MG energy, which is like, again, so much fun.
So they're in their magnetism when, again, they get rid of everything that's not serving them and they're going after everything that's lighting them up and any like pings they're getting to follow.
Yeah. And more specifically than generators, when, because with MGs, they could be potentially interested in something and get bored of it really quick, or be into starting a business and then be over it 6 months in. It's like that total detachment from like, you have to be linear.
Owning it and letting it go. Yeah. Just moving on.
Yeah. Cool. Not that it was a waste, but just like, oh my God, took me there and then it's taking me somewhere else.
Yeah. I learned my lessons or picked up my tools I was supposed to and on to the next.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then projectors, you know, they're most magnetic when they're really, really clear on what it is that their niche is. Like, what is it, the thing that I see that I'm so clear on that I can, like, share with others?
Like, it's not crazy that I, like, hacked my own little way of seeing manifestation and you can read charts, like, so quickly and channel them. It's really finding what your thing you've always been really good at or you've seen so differently or everyone comes to you for. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be in wellness, but everything. When you're, like, just all in and doing it, that's when you're the most magnetic.
Totally. Like, I know a great lawyer that's a projector, and he's so, you know what I mean? It's totally. All about, like, where's the system that you can see, or where's the efficiency gain?
Or my fiance's dad, he like a lot of us, I don't know, you went to university, but I know a lot of projectors didn't.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
See, a lot of them, and a lot of them are Aquarians too, so they're like, oh, structure, it's not my thing. But like, he invented, I forget what it was, but like a really interesting thing in phones where you call in. It was like one of the first ones. I think this is what he invented, but like how to have a number system to go somewhere. And now he's really good at like inventing certain databases to go places. Yeah. And it's made him so successful.
That's such a good example. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it can cross anything. But it's like my friend, it's like Dara always says, she's like, what's that thing that you Google and you can't stop like learning about? Like, where's that thirst for learning? As a projector, I always say, like, indulge your learning, because that's like where you're juices.
I had even a client recently who is a projector, and she's trying to figure out, and she knows it's always been helping people, but she's like, I just can't find my clarity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're always looking for clarity. Why don't you start your blog on In Pursuit of Clarity? Like, that's the thing. Like, really go after that. That niche can be anything. Even if it's being unclear, share the journey of that clarity.
I love that.
And like the hack of how to find tools around clarity. That's a whole way to do it.
I love that.
So that's so their smart. Magnetism is when they're just unapologetically in their niche and doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then with reflectors, it's about like, how can I watch myself in any environment and just not try to be me? Like, how can I just be like, oh, okay, well, right now I'm observing that I'm this kind of person. And then the next moment I'm like this kind of person. So it's about
honoring your ability. Being a chameleon.
Yeah. And it's your ability to literally go into other people and situations in a way that other people just never will be able to, because you really genuinely experience what it's like to be like you or whoever, right? So once they're totally clear of that, then life will literally just kind of like pull them the way they're supposed to go.
And have you seen examples of your clients who are very successful reflectors, and how do they do it, and what do they do? Just because it is such an abstract type.
It really is. It's let's say, for example, let's take Jordan. I'm sure she wouldn't mind using her as an
She's
example, but she was like, you know, I feel like I speak to a shaman, and then I want to be a shaman, and I speak to a Reiki person, and I want to be a Reiki person. It really is like that, the life of a reflector. And so it's about basically saying like, oh, well, just because I feel like doing it in this moment, it doesn't mean that I necessarily have to, but let me just go on these journeys. And then how, like, she does it so well, she kind of like collates these kind of like big, themes that she finds herself going into, and just like brings the person along with the journey. Because again, the reflector is ideally, when we're living as tribes, the reflector is the person in the middle of the tribe where the society can basically gauge how well we are or how well we're doing based on how well the reflector is doing.
Wow.
So as a reflector, you're literally just going to be the beacon that's showing us all where we're at, which again, like Jordan is a great example.
Totally.
Like, where are we at? Michael Jackson was another reflector.
Poor thing, because he just had so much, but if he had had a very healthy environment, it could have been so much bigger even.
Yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so cool.
All right. Well, let's move into the questions. So I guess a good thing here to talk about is maybe going deeper into demystifying what you're seeing is holding everybody up from manifesting, because they're so like tapped into their strategy.
Yes.
I know we touched on it, but maybe if you have your cues.
So where it really comes from is this idea that the whole thing about human design is that we want to dehomogenize people. So we've lived like up until now, basically this culture where like, if one thing works, then it works, but that's actually not the case at all. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have these like preconceived ideas of like ways to be successful that actually isn't working for everybody. So with projectors, because they are the newest type as a projector, they've only existed since 1781, right? And the reason being, because before that, we didn't need people to see. We didn't need people to help us make
decisions. Survival.
Gains. It was literally like,
hunt, procreate. Yeah.
Uh-huh, all that stuff. So as a projector, it's about honoring that you literally just don't function in the same way that made other people successful. So once you get that that's not good or bad, and we remove the judgment from like, oh, the way that I manifest just is the way that I manifest. The way that I show up in the world is just the way that I show up in the world. It doesn't have to be more like someone else's or but worse, because it's, you know, we do so much of like what I call runging, mm-hmm. which is what like basically trips us up with living our design is like, oh, well, this makes you feel better or this makes you feel worse and this and that. So once you accept like it just is what it is, mm-hmm. the way that I manifest in the world is by really seeing and owning my gift. And I say to people, look, try it out for 30 days. If it doesn't work, go back to your old way. Like totally. More than well, you know, like give it a go.
Give it a test.
But really when you say to the universe, listen, universe, I always say to people, like pick up your direct line to the universe and call the universe out because it's also there to help you and it's doing 90% of the work,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, listen, universe, I'm going to try just really getting super clear on my niche, you know, putting it out there, having a good system, like not putting it out there, like telling you, but having a good system that people can find me through, like a blog or a website or a me just doing my thing and being out in the world and owning that. Like even in the grocery store, people will sense your energy, right? So once you're super clear on that, then try it for 30 days.
Totally.
You have nothing to lose.
Absolutely. And like, we're both really great examples of that. Yeah. You're almost much better at it. I say that you're so magnetic because you know that you can do a lot less and a lot more will come to you and you're in your niche. Yeah. So it's like, even me, I still have the worth around where it's like, I need to like do this and this and that, like all these sparkly things. Yeah. And it's still a form of solicitation.
Yeah.
So for each of the types, essentially, what would be a really good way to speak on them of like, go out into the house, like go out of your house, be in the world, but do A, B, C, and D.
Well, with projectors, you don't even need to leave the house in the first place. Yeah. So don't worry about being productive or not productive, but just get so clear on like, what is my thing that just absolutely like makes me salivate thinking about it.
And put it into the world and different channels and platforms and whatever is speaking to you.
Yes. But just not pushing it on people. Yeah. That's the only difference. Like you say, it's the soliciting, like, oh, can I, you know, give a free session to someone who I think will give me something.
No.
And then with generators, what was the question again?
So like, what would, if you had, here's, I'll give you an example. Okay. I have this all the time. When I have very introverted clients who have very low self-worth, they'll find any reason to make anything not a hell yes.
Right.
Like, no, that doesn't feel like a hell yes. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And I actually give them kind of the same work. I always say the opposite is always what creates more magnetism of where you're at. So for them, it's like, I make them start saying yes to everything they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. So for if you had a client who walked in who is any of the types and they're just kind of staying small, staying at home and they're letting their type, their strategy
like
type
be the justification
for why they they can't, you know, go out and manifest, what are like the two sentences you would say to each of how to be in the world?
Well, I think the first thing is the problem is that people have this association with like manifestors and MGs have to be like big and loud and this and that, and then projectors and generators have to be smaller and reflectors even more. Like that in itself is a big problem because it speaks nothing to do with your loudness or your aggressiveness or how big you can be in the world. Like, you know, that has nothing to do with it. If you're really living your design, you will be big and
no matter what.
Exactly, no matter what. So there's no correlation, I guess, is the overarching thing, is like one has nothing to do with the other. But with generators, it really is about basically saying, and they know this, right? When they're doing stuff that lights them up, they can do that thing all day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to wait until there's something that really does light you up and then do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you have to do the hard work of saying no to the things that don't.
Yeah.
Because you could be saying yes, 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 overcommitting yourself to things that don't light you up, and there's no space for the universe to come in and send you that yes.
Totally.
So a lot of generators will stay small by being like, no, but I have to do this thing for my mom. Or no, I have to, this is always the way things have been, so I have to do this. And this is where you take the inventory. That's where you can go in and be like, hold on a second. Do I have to keep still doing that thing, or do I have to keep that job that's making, you know, this is where the questioning really comes in for them of like, how am I draining my life force?
Totally. You absolutely.
Know? The same with MGs. And then with manifestors, anytime that you can witness the people pleasing, the trying to believe that you're in charge of making everyone else happy, believing that you have to carry it all on your shoulders or that you have to follow things through. Because as a manifestor, you're literally just supposed to kind of pop in, do your thing, flick the dominoes, and then go to somewhere else,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So with manifestors, sometimes feeling too much responsibility or too much need to kind of carry everybody.
Not learning how to delegate. So learning how to delegate for sure, learning that you're supposed to have the great idea and to have other people carry it out is a big thing. So people who are like thinking of starting businesses, that's bringing on an intern. It's bringing on, you know, just having people help carry out the vision.
Absolutely.
What would you say, and this is just a total like selfish question, for partners? Like if you're in business as a manifestor, how do partners work for you?
Well, it needs to definitely be someone who understands that you can't be there 9 to 5, because manifestors don't work like that at all. They will work like super full force as soon as they get an urge to do something. And then when they feel like the urge is gone, they need to duck out and wait for the next urge.
So that's a really great thing to know if you're a manifestor, of how to go out into the world and make your thing
happen. It's really stop and start. It's like, feel like doing this, let's do it. And then we'll just be free until the next spontaneity thing comes in.
And what is a good, because all the manifestors I know are workaholics. What's a good, all of them? A lot of them are ex-addicts too, which is really interesting. Yeah. So I think they still haven't learned the gift of how to just be in a moment and how to, you know, be present.
Yeah.
But what would you say are good tips for them in those intermittent times where society's telling them that they should be working if they want to achieve, when their whole urge dies down? How can they fill that space while still being magnetic?
Play.
Go do what you love. Yeah.
Play. Even if it's on the swings, where our brain goes, that has nothing to do with like me having my life purpose. It has everything to do with you being on your life purpose, because you're exploring what it is that's fun. You're making things fun for yourself. And so therefore you're saying to the universe, I'm living as my real self. And then it's going to send you all the help, all the people.
That's
it's like,
magnetism.
Great, that we're just going to get behind this person because they're living their design.
They're living in their worth, essentially, and they know it's coming.
Yeah.
Going back to generators really quick so that they feel like they have this input. So you and I both have a client who's a generator, and she's so bigger than life, and she really wants to help everyone she believes in, and everything's stopping her up because she still has a lot of insecurities. What would you say to generators in their downtime when things aren't lighting them up? What can they do to still pull in all of that magnetism?
Yeah. Well, with generators, it's about, for example, you have a job that you love, right? But you only love it maybe like 70% and not 100%. The most important thing that a generator can do, firstly, is they still need rest, just because they're energy types. Out of all the energy types, manifestors, MGs, and generators, generators still do need rest. Everybody needs rest.
Yeah,
let's just be clear.
It's
not about anyone being a workhorse. It's not about anyone being a slave to productivity, none of that stuff. So everybody needs rest. But with generators, the way that they can get to their next level of magnetism is saying like, okay, maybe this is only 70% lighting me up. So I know that that's not the most that I can get. It's basically like a worth thing too, because it's like, if I'm held on to this pair of jeans and it only 70% fits me, then the universe can be outside that dressing room with 100% fit, but I'll never see it.
Yeah.
So it's about not saying, oh, I'm just going to go naked instead, but it's about just saying, oh, this is actually only a 70% fit. So that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. In that case, I'll maybe be open to the 80 or the 90 or the 100. So like whenever they can keep taking that inventory of like, what does light me up? What doesn't? How much does it less? Does it more today? Like, how is it going?
And own only the 100%.
Yeah. And it's not about like, oh, you're better than people if you only have 100% things in your life, which generators feel really guilty about. They're like, well, I can't ask for like the 100% because what will people think of me? And then I'll have to make everyone else happy with it.
Yeah. It's about learning how to own that. And all of these types, which we'll go through the others, really like their pure magnetism is when they can own their type, which has been so hard for me as a projector and a workaholic. It's like owning that I only have that certain allotted of time that I can like produce the work quickly and then I have to check out.
Yeah.
And that owning creates magnetism.
Yeah.
It's like I do trust the universe will take care of all the other percentage.
Beautiful.
So let's speak on to projectors now.
With projectors, you know, really.
Oh, I guess we started.
We started with projectors. Who else is left? MGs and reflectors.
Yes.
With reflectors, the way that they can keep themselves the most magnetic is by literally just being free in the moment to go with the flow of where life is pulling them.
So how would they trust their downtime and what would they do to fill that?
So with the downtime, really, and it sounds like so strange, but because they are totally empty people, the more they can invest in emptying out is so useful, because that's basically what brings them back to their reset. So let's say, for example, you're a reflector, and anytime you've gone out into the world, you've basically become a different person. So it pulls you out of your real nature, which is emptiness. So when you can really connect with that emptiness and start to see that as a beautiful thing, that's really becomes your home base through which you can then feel strong enough to like, oh, interesting, right now I'm this person, but you know deep down you're just empty, rather than feeling pulled into other people's agendas or flavors or, you know,
everything, sexuality, how they want to eat, like they just pick up everything.
And then it just becomes a fun trip. Like, oh, right now I'm a super sexual person and right now I couldn't care less or
It's like
whatever.
Always being on mushrooms. Always high. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And then MGs.
MGs, you know, because they have so much ability to do so many things, I really, really encourage them to get to that place where they can say, like, I'm okay with resting unless I'm totally doing what lights me up. Mm. And it's about, there is that thing of like waiting, not feeling like, oh, I can afford to go there for 15 minutes to help someone out, so I will. Or I'm going to help that person move house, so I will.
I'm looking at Lila while she's talking. Yeah.
Like, just because you can afford to, it's draining your life force. Mm-hmm. It's draining your life force if you don't get that gut response. The other thing I'll say that's really important for MGs is try not to make plans in the future, because the MG's gut only speaks to them in the moment. So MGs will often find like, oh yeah, sure, I'll go on that vacation in two months with you. Or yes, I'll go to the movies in 2 weeks' time. Or yes, I'll say yes to that dinner. And then it can get closer to the time and they'll be like, oh, I actually don't feel like going, and that doesn't light me up. Mm-hmm. So the more in the moment they can stay, the better.
So I have two. Well, part of the answer to I keep getting all of these things that I know that'll help people.
At this point, this video is going to last like 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. Shit. We're going to, like, it'll answer so many of these questions, though.
Yeah.
Did we cover all of them?
Yeah.
So MGs, in their downtime, I really want Lila to hear this. Yeah. So in their downtime, how should they be spending their downtime to still create that magnetism?
So because there still is a little bit of waiting involved with the MGs, unless you're a manifestor, there is always waiting, right? So with an MG, it's okay to wait until you have that physical gut response of like, yes, I want to go do that, or I'm feeling pulled towards something, or I want to eat that food, or whatever that is. And just in the, like, what we all need to just do more of in between those things is just be here.
Rest, you know? Enjoy what you love.
Have fun. Be quiet. Make it playful.
Yeah, like, make it playful. You know? Okay, cool. And your worth, like magnetism, comes from owning that.
Yeah.
So I'm quickly interrupting this hopefully very expansive conversation to give you a gift that we don't offer anywhere else in the brand. With the code EXPANDED, EXPANDED, all caps, you will receive 10% off the workshop of choice. The number one question we get is, where do I start? So if you head to the Start Here page on tobemagnetic.com, you'll see a series of videos depending on what you're calling in. They're listed there by love, money, self-worth, home. And I go through and tell you a little roadmap of how to engage with the courses. So depending on what you're calling in, the courses could vary. The very first course many people start with is called the Formula and Magnetism Workshop, which teaches you exactly how to manifest the formula step by step. The two most important workshops every manifestor should work through are Unblocked Reparent and Unblocked Shadow, which are what, through hypnosis, allows you to dig into your subconscious, bring it forward, and completely reprogram it through neuroplasticity. And we also have our incredible subscription program, which is called The Pathway. And we created this so that it could be accessible for everybody. That way, for a very low number every month, which if you total it out to a year, is cheaper than if you were to buy the Formula and Magnetism Workshop a la carte. And so this particular subscription has every single workshop inside of it, along with the class I teach every 2 weeks called Supported, where I answer everybody's manifestation questions they're having. And you can listen to it like a podcast, or you can watch it as a video. It has also our roadmaps inside of it and Unblocked Know, as well as Up Level. So it's a really, really good deal if you're looking to dig in and do quite a few workshops. Unfortunately, that can't be 10% off because it's month to month, but it's so loaded with benefits that you won't even notice anyway. All right, I'll let you get back to this episode now. Enjoy.
Now, I swear we'll get into some of these questions, but I know that this is going to be more helpful after doing multiple sessions with you.
Yeah.
That what would you say for each of the types is the best way to empty out? Because I know that mine's different than other people's because of what our different centers are that are open.
So in a chart, every time you have an area that's white, that basically tells you that that's an area where you take in the world, right? So that can be a good thing because it makes you wise, it makes you empathic, it makes you understanding, it makes you be able to feel emotions. Wherever your whiteness is, mm-hmm. obviously will change the way that you take in the world. But because we live in such a saturated world in terms of how many auras we literally just have together.
And social media, everything coming
all of it
at
just
us.
Exactly, like all of it's just amplified. We need to make sure that we get rid of all the energy that we take in from the world around us And we basically flush out so we don't over-identify it with being as you know, our own. So as
and
a
you could kind of maybe even think of it as filling our aura up with space where other things can't come through.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's just like cluttered totally. And the universe needs clearing to send
yes.
things through.
So let's say, for example, if you're a projector and you're overworking yourself, which is where you take in the world through the sacral, which is where most of the world has that productivity, the ability to do things, to show up, to have the life force, to generate energy, right? If you're a projector and you don't have that, where you'll take in that conditioning the most is by trying to, you feel that productivity coming off a generator or an MG or someone, and then you kind of like jump on that train and think that it's you and try and then be like, okay, I'm gonna like, you know, do all the things.
Yeah.
So with a projector, it's really about emptying out, is really about saying like, I am only supposed to do 2 to 3 hours a day of work total max. And even though I'm around people and I feel like I can do it sometimes and I'm surrounded by super capable people, that's just not how I work. So that's a really, really important way to empty out. The other thing for projectors and manifestors.
Emptying out, on a side note, does it vary based on other things in your chart? Because I remember when you had told me to empty out. Like when I yeah. made Jenna, if you ever have a session with her, tell her, give me my perfect ideal day.
Yeah.
I think, so now I like know how to follow things.
Yeah.
But one of the capacities for me of emptying out, or two, I think I received two from you, and it might have just been specific to me, I don't know, was one, I need to just go in the world and sit where I'm inspired and be around other things. And do nothing but just
yeah.
be there, and that helps like empty all
yeah.
the things out.
That's your open crown.
So
it,
that's specific to me.
That's specific to
I
you.
I see. Okay, so
yeah.
then I'll let you just keep talking about the types because I don't want people to get it confused. With
yeah.
what they should do.
But as a projector, it's really important because you have that open sacral to also that sleep is a really important way that you empty out because it's the only time when you don't take in the rest of the world's productivity energy, that sacral energy. So as a projector, if you can, a couple of nights a week or a week a month or just periodically sleep in your own aura, so not with somebody else, so you're not taking in someone
else's
energy.
I love sleeping alone.
Yeah, it's really important. And the same with manifestors, actually, because manifestors also have that open sacral. So they don't take in the productivity thing as much, but they also need to sleep alone. Because
so Max, and it's so funny because I'm a few years older than Max, and he has obviously more energy than I do. He's like more, I like more stamina.
Yeah.
It's like the best way.
Yeah.
Totally. And
yeah.
so I need the room totally dark at night with a candlelight to get back for my hormones. And so we call it in the guest room. I make him go watch the electronics in that room.
Yeah,
and we often fall asleep and sleep half the night alone, and then he'll come crawl back in bed.
That's like the ideal scenario.
It's a dream. It's amazing.
That's such a good hack. I love it.
So, and it's totally, it happened haphazardly, but
yeah.
it's so effective for both of us.
Really?
Yeah.
The other thing for projectors and manifestors, the open sacral, what it gives both of you, which is a really important thing to detach yourself from, is that because the sacral is all about desire, right? And if you don't have a sacral filled in, it means you don't necessarily have your own desires. And so as a projector or a manifestor, you could be in a room where tons of people are, let's say, like deciding it's burger night or whatever. Because you're susceptible to those other people's desires, you could temporarily think like, okay, I'll join in. Like, that's what I want too. Or people are overeating, you'll end up overeating.
Totally.
So a big part of emptying out is, okay, what's other people's desires and versus what is mine?
Mm.
Because those aren't really, like, I don't have desires of my own. And so it's again about temporarily taking in other flavors of other people's desires, but understanding that they're not your own because you're white in that area.
I see. And then the others in a nutshell.
So with MGs and with generators, ways that you take in the world, that will really depend on where your other white areas are, because you can be totally different MGs or totally different generators. You don't have a white center that defines your chart. Like all projectors have a white open sacral.
Mm-hmm.
All manifestors and reflectors have a white open sacral.
Mm-hmm.
All reflectors are totally open anyway. So with generators and manifesting generators, you need to get into it a little bit more, but they definitely don't need to empty out as much as the other types, because they are so full of life force.
Aha. Okay, great. And so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lucky things.
Lucky things. And then I want to move on to one question, because
yeah.
this was so helpful for me, especially for people who are manifesting and they're figuring out how to be in their worth with what they should be saying yes and no to,
mm-hmm.
and that downtime and emptying out.
Yeah.
What are the, you gave this to me and it actually changed so much because, and this will take us in after to our authority.
Yeah.
That'll be helpful for everyone. But,
yeah.
what are the like two things they can say to own their downtime, their bliss, in between waiting for their invitations, in between waiting for what lights them up? What can they say to people to be in their power when we're constantly, we've been programmed to be people pleasers, to work hard, to follow, and if we work hard, it gets to what we want.
Did I say something to you because you're emotional?
I'm emotional.
About buying yourself time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyone who's emotional, that's the key.
Should we talk about the authorities and then go into a couple of things each can say?
Yeah.
And so just to bridge it, this is really magnetic for everybody when you can take your power back, live in your design, and be like, nah, I know I'm not supposed to work hard right now, I'm gonna go play. When that feels bad, whatever, these are, this is, let's go into what your authority is and what that is and what they can say to
absolutely
own that time.
So again, there's so many different ways that this can pair with your energy type, so I'm always really careful to kind of like preempt people being confused and saying, but I'm this type and this is my combination and this doesn't sound like me or whatever. But if you're so 51% of the population is emotional, which means
we're both
emotional.
Yeah.
What that means is that your emotions basically can sometimes have nothing to do with what's actually going on in the world around you. You can wake up and feel super bluesy or high or happy, sad, angry. That obviously also has to depend on your energy type, right? Because manifestors can feel way more angry than other people. Our default not self theme is bitterness, which means we can feel bitter more often than
other
people.
I do. When I'm like, I'm not in my design and stuff like that, I'll be like, fuck that person.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm like, that is my thing. And Max's is anger as a manifestor.
Right. Yeah. So your emotions are obviously colored by your energy type. And then there's also six different types of emotional waves you can have.
Oh.
So it's so layered.
Would you say that, so for the simple person who's just tuning in and they're on Jovian and they see that they're, they see their type, their strategy, and their authority is what we're talking about. When they see that authority, could you like authority to intuition, like the way you process intuition?
It's so difficult with semantics because different people obviously interpret intuition in such a different way because of what they feel inside.
Or could we say pings for people who know my language?
Yeah, pings.
So this is a great way to understand your ping process.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So if you're looking on your chart on Jovian, it'll say authority. Here's what you are. And there's different types of each, but we'll give an overview of emotional, splenic, yada, yada. And this is the way you can kind of determine how to interact with your pings.
Yeah. So emotional is the most common one because, like I said, half the population is emotional. And so with you, the most important thing, and this has been life-changing for me as well as for you, is like there's no truth in the now. There's as much as you can feel excited about something when it's happening, or you can feel an immediate need to say yes or to say no to something or to do something or not. With an emotional authority, you always have to sleep on it, let things ride themselves out, go through the high of the emotional wave and the low of the emotional wave, and wait till you're in that place of that middle piece where you're like cool, calm, and collected, rather than being like someone asks you to do something or something comes up and you feel excited straight away. That means you have to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You have to wait, sleep on it. Let me think about it. Let me come back to you.
These are the things you can say. And I'll give examples of that. So like when I'm triggered by something and I want to act on it and like send an email I'll just be triggered. It just means I'm in my wave. So I have to wait until, it usually takes me usually 24 hours is my thing. And then at 24 hours, I'll sit down and I'll be like, I don't really fucking care about that anyway.
Yeah.
That's when it's time to answer. So it can also be the flip side where it's like something comes through and I'm like, oh, I just love this person and the things and the stuff.
So
I'm
going to say yes.
And then after 24 hours, I'm like, fuck, I'm way too tired to say yes to that. So a thing we can all get into with pings, when a ping comes through, if you're an emotional, is to just write it down. Was like a great thing you told me. Just write it down in your phone under notes and then revisit it when you're in totally neutral and then say yes or no or whatever is needed.
And that's with, especially when you're learning to listen to your authority, the most important thing people can do is really write it down. Because if you're not strong enough to actually act on it yet, you can at least write it down so that you can go back to it and revisit it in hindsight and see, oh, if I'd listened to that, that would have turned out right. Like it's almost like having your own evidence.
Yes. It's a great way to trust. Really, you build your authority trust muscle, your ping trust muscle through that. That's a great exercise.
And then it's just like, okay, you start to trust it just by seeing that it would have worked better for you. Do you know what I mean? Like your own life.
I love that.
Shows you that.
Yeah.
And then you have sacral authority, which is what that sacral means, that your gut basically decides. And basically what that is about watching, like, do you have a physical response to like, yes, this sounds exciting to me, or yes, doing this is going to make me happy. Or like I said, it's about sitting up in your chair. So like when MGs and generators are listening to that sacral, that's basically saying to them, yes, I feel like doing this, or yes, that excites me, or no, that doesn't. It's an expansive response, or is it a contractive response? It's literally just that.
So they're instant in their pings. It's like, that is the answer.
Yes, I want that. No, yeah. I don't. But this is where it gets complicated, because you also have generators and MGs that have emotional authority.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys would be sitting on it.
You'd with watch what that lights first. You up. Exactly. Yeah. You'd watch that first response and then wait. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. And what would be the words for like things people could use on these more instantaneous, authority types? What would be?
Yeah, it's like, that sounds really fun. Let me come back to you. If you have emotional authority. If you don't have, if you're not emotional and you're a generator or an MG, then you can say stuff like, well, you'll just know straight away. So you'll be like, yeah, cool.
Or sounds no.
Great, I'm in.
So there's, that's like your worth licensing is just like now or yes. Uh-huh. And fucking listen to it.
Yeah.
And that's how you can start to create magnetism, is not being wishy-washy and, oh, well, maybe.
Not letting the brain interfere. Like, oh, I really like this, but I shouldn't.
Yeah. And you just have to do it or don't. If you don't have the resources to do it now on that ping, keep it and do it a little bit later. So that's ways that you can delegate that.
Absolutely. And one thing I always say is like a really good exercise for generators and MGs is to visualize, like when you're thinking too much about the shoulds in your head, visualize pulling all that energy down and then fusing it to the sacral, because you're like basically saying, this guy's in charge now.
Yeah, my body.
This one is out of the picture. This one's just along for the ride.
Totally.
And then you have splenic authority too, which is basically people who are, there's that sixth sense. The spleen is very like, it's that kind of like instinctive knowing. And people often confuse that with intuition, but it's really different because the instinct is that bit that says it knows straight away without being able to make sense of it. It's like,
it's clear cognizance.
It's like, yes or no. Yeah. You have a spleen that's lit up, but just not your authority.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that ability to be like, yep, I love it. No, I don't. It's the hardest one to trust because it makes zero sense. Sometimes.
And it's so abstract. Like you can't, there's nothing concrete feeling about it. Yeah. It literally just feels like psychic. Knowing. Yeah.
And so that's another one where writing it down is so important, because later on hindsight will show you that it's always right, but you just have to go on that journey where you're really exploring the spleen.
Yeah.
If you have nothing else to listen to, then that's the way your life is supposed to be.
And it's like that builds your trust muscle too for the people who have been conditioned in the world for so long to not listen to themselves, and especially something that abstract.
Uh-huh.
But for me, for example, I have it in a different space where I can always try, and it's like, that's how I know how to trust patterning. It's the way that I understand energy a lot, but it's like on the tip of my tongue and a smell that comes through.
Wow.
And I'm like, I know this is going to be, even with, for instance, with Supported, we came out with it very high price. And then everybody was like, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. And we're like, we hear you. We want everybody to have support. And I just know the number.
Wow.
I just know what's going to allow it to be accessible to everybody and be very successful.
Yeah.
And it's like a tip of my tongue. I've trained myself now to always listen to that.
Wow.
It takes time. Yeah. So that's a great practice, is you guys can write it down and just refer back, and you'll see like, oh, that was right. That was right. That was right.
And the thing about the spleen, that is the area which houses all the other senses too, like the five physical senses. So there is always, sometimes you can, when we talk about, oh, I can smell a rat from a mile away, like it's that same thing of like, totally. Oh, this sounds funny, you know, it's that thing. But yeah, I mean, you also have Genius Freak energy.
Yes, I have too much of this. You say I have like a pot, like, or whatever, it's a little thing, it's like everything.
It's the receiving bowl.
Too much intuition, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's so lucky though. Okay.
Now there's three other authorities that are more niche.
Yeah.
I mean, like 85% of the population has those three, but if you want me to cover the other three, we can.
Just in case it's a test chart.
Okay, so you can have ego center authority. Ego center authority sounds really strange, but it's literally going with what your ego wants in any given moment.
Okay.
So when you have nothing else to guide you, you can literally just listen to that voice inside you that wants, whether it's money, impact, success, power, being the star of the show, feeling like people see you, whatever it is your specific, obviously your reading will help you figure out what it is your ego wants. But when you have nothing else guiding your authority, it's literally just supposed to be following your egotistical needs. And from a place of good consciousness, you know, people have a real trip with ego because they're like, oh, well, if I...
No, I have it. I love it.
Bad. It's
good. I'm here to be seen and have success. I love
it. That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you have G-center authority, which G-center authority is actually about because there's nothing else inside you, you don't have the spleen, the emotions, or the sacral, or the ego trying to tell you what you want. The G center is that part, and my other half has this, where it's really about witnessing the way that you're describing things. The tone of your voice is often going to give it away the most.
So what would be good ways that they could integrate that with a ping?
With a ping, it's like, because they'll sometimes be a bit, people that have G center authority can kind of like see so many sides, and they can be so, or if they're really badly conditioned, they can be too quick to answer. Mm. Only projectors can have G center authority.
Do I have this or no? I don't, right? Because I'm like, I really identify with this.
It's with G center, it's like, oh yeah, well, I kind of know, but I also kind of don't, whatever. So tell your best friend, tell your partner, whatever, and they'll be able to tell you by the tone of your voice, if you can't, that if you're into it or not.
I love that. So really, you're the type of person who needs to bounce pings off of your most trusted allies and allow
them. And the tone of your voice will give it away.
I love that.
Or your stance or whatever. You might be like, oh, in your head, you're intellectualizing it, and be like, no, it's a really good idea. And then you can tell someone, you're like, yeah, but it's kind of confusing to me, this and that. And you're like, okay, well, if it's confusing, why don't you do it? Like,
great. What's wrong with you? So bounce it off your people.
Yeah, and it's only projectors that have this. And projectors, the one, I guess, weird thing about projectors is they see others so clearly, but they don't see themselves so clearly. Mm. So if you're a G center projector, you really need the other person to be like, no, this is how you're feeling. Yeah. Like, let me tell you that. Then there's no inner authority, which is only mental projectors and reflectors, which basically means that you have to...
Oh, my youngest brother has this.
Really? Yeah, so does my youngest brother is really? No inner authority.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, what the fuck does he do?
He's a projector?
He's a projector. He's so, a magical little...
Wow.
And so he's funny too. I don't know if this has anything to do with it. He's a very empathetic person, but nothing affects him or bothers him. Like a great story when he was little in, second grade, he peed his pants or something at class accidentally. And my mom like cried going to pick him up. She was so like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, nobody, like nothing affects him that way. And my mom is like, is he psychopathic? But no, he's like the most magical person.
Yeah. People think they're just like cold on the inside or like, but it's because they literally have nothing going on here down, and it's all what they came in to do was share maybe their opinion, the way they see things, the way they understand things, whatever.
Like, so, he's incredible at coding in games. And I'm like, Mom, let him just focus on that. Yeah. Don't, like, let him be in front of it all day. Like, he will be very successful at that.
Yeah. And they're only, like, 2% of the population mental projectors. So they're, like, they really have to just be so laser-focused on what is it that my brain is so good at seeing and sharing and not worry about. That's why this old set, I don't want to deal with my emotions, my sacral, my my that. Like, I just give me that one thing that my soul is here to do.
It's a magical.
It's like a laser focus. It's cool.
Okay, I love that.
So it's about basically them sort of polling people, waiting for the environment to show you the answer, that type of thing, staying open.
I love that. So we're almost at an hour, but I'm going to ask you two more questions and then give you, and we'll have to just have you back because there's so much that we can learn from you. And then we'll talk about where you can find out all of this way more. Jenna's coming out with an incredible, that's going to light everybody up because it's basically going to tell you how to do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G to basically be magnetic for your type and let go of anything that's not magnetic. Mm-hmm. Number one that we'll ask you, a lot of people are asking, how can they find their life purpose and career within their energy types? Where would they determine that ish in their chart, or what would help them in their chart, and then like how they can work with that?
So
in
terms of where do you find it in your chart, what I do when I look at a chart is I'm seeing all the different synergies of, okay, you have gate 64 with gate 55. And therefore, to me, that's saying for you, this is that, right? So it's very non-prescriptive.
So it's very much a session needed.
It's such a session needed. But the one thing about purpose is that the way I think about it is that when the universe sees you living your design, it's not that you have to find your purpose, it's that your purpose, and it sounds so cliche, so I feel like really bad saying it,
but it's great for people to start tap into themselves. And this, like, if your fucking aura is clear and you're in your worth about living your design, your purpose is probably going to find you a lot quicker.
And also the second thing is that we think purpose means work, when actually when you look at a chart, if someone's only karma that they came here to do was to fix their stuff with the relationships they're in, or to fix their stuff with the way they treat their body, like, we have no idea what purpose is. We really don't. Like, we think of it as like, oh, well, I have to have had a good,
success story.
And it's not that at all. Like, it literally could be that your soul is here to you know, be kinder to your mother, and that makes you way more likely to come back in a great next incarnation than if you'd forced yourself to be the next Bill Gates.
Interesting. Like, and it would make you have probably a much easier, healthier, happier journey in this lifetime.
1,000%.
Or like Amanda, who works with us, I think that she has 5-1 or something.
She's a 4-1.
4-1, yeah. Which is like they just came to have fun, right? Uh-huh. They have like no karma or something.
Bonus life.
Wow, that's amazing.
So with them, it's like, again, if you're so set on finding what you're here to do or needing what you're here, like, actually, you're basically betraying your soul. So, you know, you need to trust that when you're showing up as, you know, like you're saying with Amanda, like living her bonus life, and she's a manifester, she will affect so many more people when she's not thinking about what her karma is and how to help people mm-hmm. and da, 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 like all that
just
stuff.
Just doing with what
just
her pains
doing
are.
With what
yeah.
her pains are, exactly. Yeah. I have one of my mom's friends is a generator. She just got divorced after like 35 years of being married, and she's a 4-1. And I said to her, like, the most important thing is to remember that you're just here to like, not do anything. Stop feeling guilty about, oh, well, I got divorced, so I owe this to my kids. Blah, 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 blah. Like, not for you. Like, yeah. it's not what you're free of karma. So
totally.
I get back to that. And that's not better than people, worse than people. Again, it's just, it is what it is.
And that's when you start to really trust spirituality, honestly.
Yeah.
When we take off, like, the human skin, like,
yeah.
that we even have human relationships and that we just are souls that are here to experience something
yeah.
and with a purpose.
And once you accept that your design is beautiful and that your soul chose it before you came here, getting rid of all the preconceptions of it's worse to be like this, or I wish I was more that, or da, 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 that's when you can just be like, okay, like, it's good. Like, we're all innately worthy. Like,
mm.
that's the message underneath it all. It's like, it's all good. It's all beautiful. Yeah.
So, like, the real only takeaway people can have based on their type is to, at this with purpose,
yeah.
is to kind of clear their aura, really get into their types, be unapologetic about their design, and
mm-hmm.
your purpose will essentially start to
find you.
Yeah.
And if you're, and you can kind of personalize it in the sense, if you're a projector, you have no idea what niche you're really good at least embark on that journey.
Yeah.
If you're a generator and you have no idea what lights you up, start to trust, try to pay attention,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
the
and
same
then
with
manifesting.
With manifestors, it's like just stop doing things that you're apologizing for and start to really connect to what is that part of you that's just like, I'm me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And manifesting generators, if I want to go here and I want to go here and I want to go here, great, I'll try and follow it for 30 days and
yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah, and then let it go if I'm not digging it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great. Okay.
What's the worst that could happen? You
I
know?
Love that. One thing that I was going to speak to, because this is really important, such a big part of the process is like, honestly, deconditioning. I say delayering or unblocking. That's
yeah.
that's one of the biggest parts of this. And it goes to like really getting back into your type and your authenticity
uh-huh.
and your blueprint and what your soul came here to do. When people are down and out, and I know it shows differently of how people should alchemize and process that in their charts, but can you speak to each of the types when they are in one of their lowest moments or a rock bottom, how to start getting themselves out of that place? If they're the brokest they've ever been, if their
yeah.
heart's broken, if they're in the shittiest job,
uh-huh.
What is something they can start doing that's so small right now?
Yeah, I think the number one thing to say is that, obviously, it doesn't have any, because this is the number one thing that stops people getting into their real design, is associating being in a bad place with being undeserving or not worthy. Because once you can start to say, okay, this is just from an observational point of view, this is what it is, and underneath, I'm innately worthy because I'm just a piece of the universe. I'm just
totally.
A spark of the light, whatever words you want to use.
Like, my soul is already worthy.
Yeah,
I
this
just
isn't
picked
me.
Up shit that's
yeah.
made me feel unworthy.
Because that, no matter what your type is, it's that over-attachment to the things that you think are bad, because it's kind of like building momentum or not building momentum. So if you're in a place where you're really not living your design, it's like the stalling creates more stalling.
Totally. Or the sickness gets sicker. Like
yeah.
all the things get, it's just all of these things in your life that don't feel good are usually just a sign that
yeah.
you're not in quite in your design.
Yeah. And so when you're not in your design, it's okay to say, because we're always going to veer off our design.
Totally.
Like, the day you die, no one is like always living their design. So when I'm in places where I'm not living my design, I kind of visualize like my higher self talking to my like kid afraid self and be like, listen, I've got you, this is going to be okay, we're going to do this together,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing wrong with you, and this is clearly here so that you can kind of like navigate out of it,
and
so that's doable,
it. Yeah.
So it's fine. But not beating myself with that spiritual stick of like, okay, well, it means you have to push more and your life has to look like this, like
yeah.
it's okay
yeah.
as soon as you like accept, the acceptance is the great healer of all
yeah.
human design. It's like, once you know, okay, this is not me, this is where I'm at, then I can make sure that I have my own back. And that's how you fuse like the higher self with the self that's living here. Because you need both to live your real self.
Absolutely. I love that.
So no matter what your type is.
That's and like, what's a way that you could start to get out of it just following your strategy?
Following your strategy and also being very, very clear. Pick up that direct line to the universe and say, universe, I do not want this anymore.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know what the actions are, just getting clear on that, putting that in your aura is such a different message than I'm in such a stuck place, I don't know how to get out. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm stuck. I have no idea to get out, but you're going to help me and I'm going to listen.
Every time so I've ever gotten out of a rock bottom, there's always a moment of me crying on the floor saying, fine, I surrender, universe. You should just show me. I don't want this anymore. I can't take it anymore. Show me.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in my chart, which I don't know where in the chart deciphers this, but like one of my things are that I'm supposed to walk through the mud, go through rock bottoms because it's what helps me alchemize to show other people how to navigate through them,
right.
Which is what made me understand manifestation in the first place. So it's like, I learned very quickly, I love being in rock bottoms because I'm like, oh, I know so much is going to come from this.
Yeah.
So like, where can they maybe figure out? Or I had a girlfriend recently who was like, she's a manifesting generator in Aries. And she was like, I was reading, I wonder if it's, she's 6'3" or I don't know the numbers. I don't know what they mean, but that she was like, I'm supposed to have three parts in my life and they're each going to kind of go like this. And she's like, it's really fucking true.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, it just shows you like again, with the homogenization, like who says that rock bottoms are bad for you? They're freaking
They're magic. Bold. They're magic, yeah.
So whenever you catch yourself making that judgment of this is bad, go, why do I think this is bad? Like, oh, okay.
What society has programmed
you. Yeah, and then you go, okay, ain't no thing. It's just cool, you know?
That's where I'm at. Yes.
But when you say universe, okay, like I want to change things, it's just the difference between going la, 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 la to like, hey, hello.
Yeah.
Is anyone
connected? Yeah. I'm listening. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Great. I love that.
Yeah.
Here's a great one I've been getting a lot from people is, you know, should I be specific when I'm manifesting or not be specific? I'm someone who works really well with being specific.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do the list, do the things. But there are the arrows in your chart decipher. So if you can, because I'm trying to think of whatever they can look at themselves while they're waiting, because your sessions are really looking out. So book now with Jen. Because they're filling up, is really looking at those arrows and what they mean for your manifestation process.
So you want to be looking at the bottom right-hand arrow for your manifesting.
Okay.
Because if you have that arrow pointing to the left, it means that you manifest really well when you're being specific. So the lists, the knowing, the this is what I like, you know, like how you say, like down to the color of the car, like you can
or
get
the core,
into it.
What your core wants.
Yeah,
are.
Exactly. Yeah. That's going to really help you manifest. If you have the arrow pointing to the right, those things are actually going to cause you to stumble a bit. So for me, I have that arrow pointing to the right. Whenever I try and think about what do I want, it never goes my way. Otherwise, I have to be like, okay, I just want to live my design.
Yeah.
Or which has just been my language. And you don't have to do it the human design way. You can just be like, I just want to be happy with my job. Or I
be
just want to
moment.
Be doing in the moment. Or whatever.
Yeah.
When you get the specifics or the lists, it sometimes, because you're supposed to be at what we call a passive manifester, it kind of blocks you when you're like,
yeah, you're trying to be rigid.
Yeah, but usually when I tell people which one they are, it's the one that you naturally have caught yourself doing anyway.
You figured out your patterns.
So it's kind of okay. Yeah, exactly.
And then what does the top arrow represent in their life?
So there are four arrows.
Ah, I've only seen the two.
Yeah,
ah,
so there's four. So they'll mean different things depending on also where you have. This is where it gets really complicated, but there's something called color, base, and tone in human design, which is all the underlayers of like, let's say, for example, you are... you have gate number 24, you might have, there's six different variations of the gates that you could have. So it's like, we're unearthing
so
like a whole other.
This isn't even applicable. This is a session. Okay, cool.
It's like, that will determine like how you eat, the environments you're in, where you thrive, where you don't thrive, what helps you be your not self, what helps you be your real self. Like it's just,
okay.
But that's an easy one for people to look at when it comes to manifesting is that bottom right black arrow.
Okay, great. And then can you speak last but not least, and then I'm going to have you give them an exercise.
Yes.
Can you speak to what people can look at in terms of their past patterning and how it can help them be even more in their design today, which we kind of talked on about, like taking a journal and like really looking at what did work and didn't.
Yeah.
But in terms of manifestation,
yeah.
if any past patterning per their type or who they are will help them in this process.
So I tell all people with a generator engine, so that's generators and MGs, think of a time when you were doing what lights you up, and it, that thing, you know, it gave you more energy and you could just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. So that's a really good thing. If you have an example of that having happened already to you in your life, you can anchor yourself back to, that's when I'm in my magic lane.
Like, that's right? What it feels like. That's what happens in my life. Like, really starting to see when that implemented.
Yes. Okay. You know, and rather than trying to think about how it should look or whatever, you can just say, okay, even if that didn't bring me huge success, that's the thing that does bring me more success when I do it lots,
or push
me
forward.
Feeling of like, I know what that feels like. And on the contrary, I know what it feels like to feel drained.
Mm-hmm.
And then with manifestors, think of times when you're just doing, when there's no pressure on you from other people to do something, and you're just doing something because you want to do it, how free and at peace you feel. Because that's the thing that manifestors want more than anything. They just want to feel like they're at peace. Mm. They just don't want to feel like there's chaos, there's this, there's that coming from the outside. Well, they just want to be free to do their thing. So think of a time when you were really just like totally okay with doing. And with manifestors, often it's not that recent. It's when they were kids and they were just like
totally free.
Trying to start a band or whatever.
Yeah.
It's that same energy. And then with projectors, it's actually probably most difficult for projectors, because it's so easy for them to live in believing that they know things and pushing it on people. So sometimes you do have to take that leap of faith and say, I'm just going to try this out because I don't know with my past patterning. But you can see that it feels kind of gross to be pulled being bossy or smarty pants or whatever. And you know that that's not good energy for you. So at least you can anchor yourself, kind of what you were saying about the opposite of, like, it really doesn't feel good. And wouldn't it feel better to just have people recognize me for what it is that I am good at?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be better than
instead
this.
Of pushing what onto other people. What I think I'm good at.
Because you end up feeling like shit when you push up.
Always.
When you push stuff.
I would
people.
Say that we're so sensitive. The ones I know are so project. But I mean, everybody's sensitive.
Yeah.
But projectors, because we want to be recognized and seen so badly, since we see other people, is what you say.
Yeah.
It's like, ow. Like,
yeah.
But I know.
See
you
me.
Know?
I know things.
Yeah,
like,
I
could help you.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone's like, stop.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So uncool. Like, get out of my face.
Capricorns are like that. The little Capricorns. I always, all of them that I know, and they're so smart and they're so, you know, like old for their age and all those things.
Wow.
And so that's why I know a lot can become insecure.
Yeah. And
I have
then
one more question.
Just
oh
reflectors,
God.
When they get pulled in too deep, that's when they know
that's
like a really good thing to not see, is when they're feeling too sucked in by other people's vibe or too sucked in by a thing, like a trend, a pattern, a this or that.
Okay.
That's when they really feel they get off kilter. That's really bad for their health. So they can tell, like, okay, I'm in really bad health when I feel too pulled away. So I need to just kind of dip, like, go and explore these tiny things and just feel like they're fun, but not lose myself in them.
Like times that I've lost myself in the past, like really looking at what that feels like as a reflector.
Yeah, or where I felt really bad in an environment and I haven't basically been strong enough to pull myself out, but I can
Beautiful.
Now.
That's really good. And poor reflectors, I keep forgetting about them. There's so much.
I know, but they have like the potential to be the wisest of us all, because they know nothing.
It's
they
incredible.
Know that they know that to
they're
know
wizards.
Yeah.
And then I thought of one more question. I swear we'll end this. One more is, I really want to touch on worth, since both human design as well as, you know, the name for worth and human design is being in your design and being, you know, unapologetic about it. What can you speak to? Because we've been out of our design, so many of us are trained to go down certain paths. It can make us all pretty insecure and have low self-worth.
Yeah.
People who are so far from their designs and they do struggle with self-worth, for each type, what are some things they can do to start to really feel that worth again?
I would say it's less to do with your energy type and more to do with your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So with the numbers, there's just an easy way to look at it.
And you're saying when you pull up your chart on Jovian, you'll see underneath authority, you see your numbers.
You'll see you're like a 1-4
I'm like
a 3-5 or a 3-5 or whatever. 4-1s will put to the side because they have no karma. But always when your first number is the smaller of the two numbers, that means that your life has got to take a quote unquote selfish approach, where you finding your worth, you understand, is not dependent about the people around you. You're going to get to your karma no matter what else is going on around you. You're like, this is my road and this is me being selfish. So allowing yourself to see, like, I'm going to do my thing a little bit, not in a better than people way, nothing like that, but just like, this is where I'm going. So with those numbers, what we call a personal karma, with those numbers, you want to really basically focus on the fact that when I'm really on that path of owning me, that's one of the closer I'm coming to getting my own flavor is when I get to my worth.
Mm.
So the way to your worth is when you know what you are, right? The other way around, when you have the bigger number first, actually you'll see your worth when you see the effect you have on other people. So when you see that you've made people so happy, or you see that you've really helped people or changed them, that's what builds your worth. So there's like a bit of a reverse. So if you have the bigger number first, go out and like make someone's day better if it's also lighting you up, or if it's also making you happy, or
like if take you're someone five along one
for the ride. If you're whatever. A 5-1 and you're a generator, go do something that makes you happy and watch for how it's going to make other people happy. Because when you see the reflection of your own light in other people, that's what makes you happy. People that have the bigger number first are here to finish their karma, but they need other people along for the ride, and they're going to do it together. People that have the smaller number first, I'm getting there with or without you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, don't give a shit. Go hop on or off. Yeah, okay, cool. That's beautiful to know. Okay, now we'll wrap it up. Jenna's going to give you each of your types, your different U-types, an activity that will help you.
So what's a really good thing to do when you're trying to assess like where along your, you know, how much you're living in design and what's your next level, no matter where you are? Like, these are a good question to ask if you're, let's say, almost there or not there at all. Like, it's great. So with manifestors, a really good journal prompt that I like is like, what am I still apologizing for? What am I still apologetic about? Maybe where am I still trying to please people?
Excellent.
So that's a real thing that holds people back in terms of being a manifestor.
So maybe taking inventory daily and journaling that out.
Yeah. Or just watching, you know, what I'm really big on is, sometimes it's not easy to have the answer, but once you open up the curiosity, then you trust that the universe is going to send you the perfectly crafted scenario to show you.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, universe, I'm committed to seeing where I'm people pleasing. So I'll pay attention next time it comes up. And then with generators and MGs, that question is like, where am I still saying no to things that don't light me up? Where am I still saying to myself, I should do this, or, you know, I have to do that? Where am I still committing my energy, my life force to things that don't truly light me up? Because again, that's a negative leak on your energy. It's not just costing you energy, it's also taking away energy. Yeah, so it's like a double negative.
Blocking you from the things coming through.
Yeah, it's a double negative. And then with projectors, a really big thing is like trying to figure out what you're really good at. So that's the number one thing that's going to help you get to the next level, is like, how can I really own the niche of things that I'm really, really good at seeing, that I'm really, really, you know, just so specific about and so, you know, special at. Basically, that process of seeing yourself is really what will open up the next level. And again, like, just because you discovered you should be a nutritionist, you know, am I a nutritionist that's really good? And, you know, your next level could be like, am I really good then at blood typing? Or am I good at seeing this new thing?
Or like archetypes or
whatever. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like something really, you know, specific. And the more specific you can get through your life, the better.
Yeah. Excellent.
And then with the reflectors, you know, holding on to identity or a set identity is what really holds them back. So it's about, where am I still holding on to my identity, and what can I let go of just so that I can understand that I'm a total blank canvas?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Excellent. So for everybody out there, I cannot stress enough how important this is, or how much further this can really take your manifestation process. If you've been learning about how to manifest through my process, this is like the blueprint. It's the key that makes you go, oh, now I have some answers about how I can get way more in my worth in my type. So Jenna has just released, it's for all five of the types, a recording. I'll let you talk about them because it's so magical.
So it's basically, you know, I can only see so many people for a session at a time. And at the same time, I hated what the information I read about human design, the information that most people feel they get online is so, I feel it's too judgmental, it's old, it's a bit crusty. And so I kind of wanted to do general sort of readings. So if you're just a generator and you want to hear what it's like to be a generator without necessarily getting into all the specifics, or you want to buy an audio and hear about what your projector dad is like or whatever, then you can just have that, me basically speaking about what the main energy types are and, you know, what the basics, the 101 of being a generator, the 101 of being a whatever your energy type is, so that you have that basic understanding of how you're supposed to exchange energy with the world around you. Obviously, then we can layer onto that and there will be more coming. But this is just the foundation of what it is to be each of the types.
And you go through deconditioning everything that isn't serving that type, basically, that's been put on you.
Absolutely.
So it just takes everything we talked about here today way further for your specific type and how to integrate that into manifestation, essentially, how to be your most magnetic self. And then after you do that, book a session with Jen so you can actually learn, because it gets so intricate, which has been so helpful for me to know that I have the freak gene. It's made me accept myself so much more and be cool with, you know, the things that maybe others don't understand about me or get.
It's just a sigh of relief when you hear, like, this is who you are. You go, oh, okay.
I always say it's been the most, like, the first time I did it with Jen, I was like, I've never felt so articulated, and like, I have so much licensing to just be myself.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll get out of it. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share it with a fellow manifestor that could really benefit from the information that you just learned. Also, if you are curious as to where to start in this manifestation practice, head to the Start Here page on tobemagnetic.com, where you'll see a series of videos, little roadmaps, where I walk you through which workshops in ratio to what you're calling in, whether it's money or love or a home. And if you're looking for deeper manifestation content, we share a newsletter twice a month with information that's totally not on the blog that shows you how to digest this process even deeper. See you next Friday.